I want to take you to the 34th Psalm, I think, the 20th verse. And this is a statement made about a righteous man. And we read here that it says, "He keepeth all his bones, not one of them is broken. He keepeth all his bones, not one of them is broken." Now I want you to contemplate that phrase, because you may find that it is a very essential key to your life. Something you may not have considered before, but something we're going to consider tonight in detail. And I'd like you, while you're contemplating that, to let your mind dwell upon the possible meaning of it. I'll repeat it. He keepeth all his bones, not one of them is broken. Now, while you're doing that, associate it with the rib of Adam. And see if there is a clue for you as to the meaning of the rib of Adam in that phrase, "None of his bones are broken." Now, in the rib of Adam, we find that a bone is broken. And this is the beginning of the breaking away from God. This is the beginning of an expression of duality. For we know that Adam is asleep. But he isn't napping. He's not sleeping physically. He's not taking 40 winks. He is asleep to the Spirit of God. He is asleep to the inner Christ. He is asleep to his own selfhood. And while he is asleep, out of his rib, the woman is formed. Now tonight we're going to see Adam and Eve as Moses meant them to be, not as the world has taught it. Not even as many of us have believed it to be. I want you to see that Adam and Eve are one being, one, not two. The breaking of the rib is the expression of the duality of the consciousness of mankind. Spirit is using a method to teach us what we cannot see with our human eyes. Adam is asleep, and the nature of his sleep is duality. He is separated from the knowledge of his own true being, and that separation must show forth as duality. The rib is a symbol. And Eve, when she appears, is Adam. Eve is Adam in the outer. And Adam now becomes Adam in the inner. You're looking at the outer and the inner. That is the method Spirit uses to teach us. The outer Eve is the outer you. The inner Adam is the inner you. Adam and Eve are you. They are the outer of yourself and the inner of yourself, which you're not aware of until you are spiritually illuminated. Moses was not teaching 3,000 years ago. Moses is teaching tonight. Moses is teaching every time you are aware of the presence of Moses or the presence of the Spirit of Moses. Moses knew nothing about the first man and the first woman. Man is at least hundreds of thousands of years old. Moses only goes back 3,500. He had to teach something so shocking that even today, hardly a church in the world is aware of what Moses was telling them. He had to teach that man does not know God. He had to teach that man does not know man. He had to teach that death can never happen. He had to teach that man does not know what life is. He had to reveal to us forbidden fruit. And it may amaze you to find that even you today are eating forbidden fruit. You may have studied the infinite way for many years. You'll find to your surprise that the message of forbidden fruit has escaped you. We don't even know what it is. We have laughed about it. We have joked about the story. And while we are doing it, we ourselves today, our leaders, our theological leaders, our governmental leaders, our educational leaders, our scientific leaders, are all eating forbidden fruit. And so are we. And because we don't know we're eating it, our children are eating forbidden fruit too. We are saying that we are not in the kingdom of God. We are saying that evil exists. We are saying that there is a tree of good and evil. And the minute we have said that, we have stepped out of the kingdom of God. There is no tree of good and evil in the kingdom of God. There is no evil in heaven. There are no human beings in the kingdom of God. And if you know one, you're not in it. There is no death in the kingdom of God. And if you believe in death, you're not in the kingdom of God. All our lives, we have been looking for a way to enjoy the fruits of the kingdom of God without living in the kingdom of God, and it cannot be done. The 12 fruits of the kingdom are only in the kingdom. And if you want to enjoy them, you must stop eating forbidden fruit. If you look at Eve carefully and banish every concept you have had about her and accept that Eve is you, whether you're man or woman. Eve is your outer self, your natural self. Eve is your form. Eve is your human mind. Eve has no interest in God. Eve wants the pleasures of good, and she doesn't want the displeasures of evil. Eve hides from God. And we are told that she is to conceive in sorrow. We have not accepted that as a statement to every mother on this earth, but that's what it is. The Spirit, through Moses, was telling us that all who are born of woman must die. We know that. But it is also telling us that all who are reborn of the Spirit cannot die. And you can never really understand the nature of Eve until you compare her to Mary. You can't just read chapter 2 of Genesis and understand Eve. You've got to go through the Bible and see her next to Mary and see the difference. Then suddenly what you hadn't noticed becomes clear. Everything that Eve is not, Mary is. And everything that Mary is, Eve is not. Mary doesn't see a serpent. Mary doesn't see a tree of good and evil. Mary doesn't conceive in sorrow. Mary isn't banished from the kingdom of God. Why? Because Mary is Eve, reborn. There is a message in Eve and Mary that is as subtle as the serpent itself. Eve represents your first birth as a material being. Mary represents your second birth. And the nature of that second birth is something very, very shocking. I'm not quite sure how many of you have ever realized just how deep that second birth goes, but I wouldn't want you to leave Catalina without realizing it fully. Think of who you are. A friend talks to you. You talk to a friend. Now, when that friend talks to you, what are they talking to? Are they talking to your face? Your body? Their concept of you? Your brain? What are they actually talking to? Who are you that they are talking to? You find that they're not talking to your foot or your shoulder or your head. They're talking to something that receives them, and that's something we'll call your brain or your mind, if you wish. Now, that brain and that mind are going to die. They are talking to something that is going to die. And when you talk to them, you are talking to something in them that is going to die. So you talk to a dying brain, and they talk to a dying brain. And that is not life. Is there something in you that does not die? Is there something in you that is immortal that I can talk to? Is there something in me that is immortal that you can talk to? When you talk to your children, do you talk to something in them that is going to die or something in them that never can die? Which are you talking to? If there is something in us that never dies, why aren't we talking to it? And further, if it is something that never dies, it must be alive now. I'd like you to find that something in you that is alive now. You'll have to go deep, 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 beyond your human senses. You're searching for something in you that can never die. Something that has been alive forever and always will be. And you've got to transcend your mind to do it. You've got to let your mind be totally still to do it. The merest whisper of human thought will build a veil between this aliveness of you, which is eternal, and the material sense of self. There is an aliveness in you. And in your most sublime moments, you are conscious of it. It becomes your living consciousness. You step out of mortality. You step out of the dying self, the dying mind, the dying body. You transcend. You become that very something that is aliveness itself. And if you have not yet done it, the meaning of rebirth cannot be clear to you. When, almost on tiptoe, something elusive, beyond your mortal self, is realized, you are finding the babe called Christ. And only when you touch that babe do you touch the aliveness of you, which is eternal. And only when you talk to that babe in every child, every adult that you see, are you touching that in that individual which never dies. You must come to a birth within yourself, a second birth, in which that child is born into your consciousness, and in which the old self is dissolved. It isn't changing a material self into a spiritual one, or making a better human self or a good human self. It's actually finding another selfhood through rebirth. The rib of Adam is the beginning of the human dream, the beginning of incarnation, the falling out of eternity into time. And you must walk back through time into eternity. One day, there will be an awareness of this other self to such an extent that you'll know that is the purpose of your life, to live in that self, and that self alone, more and more and more, until the child you accept in the inner of your consciousness takes over the entire consciousness. Until there is no you here, but only that child grown up. Otherwise, you will discover that humanly we are nothing more than a moth. If you've been up late at night, dark room, and you put a light on, after a while you may have noticed a moth or two at the window. And this little moth will flutter, squirm, moving his front paws, front little feet to get in, trying so hard to get inside that window at that light. And of course, he's totally unaware of what's keeping him out. He has no knowledge of the fact that it's a glass pane of solidity that's holding him from the light. He doesn't see that glass. And no matter how he struggles, there's no way for him to approach that light. Now, if there's a little crevice at the end of the window, he may squirm in. Then he'll flutter over to the light. And the next day, you'll find him dead on the carpet. He can't win. Either he can't get in, or he finds the light and gets in, and after he's got it, he finds that he's got the wrong light. What good was it? He was seeking a light that had no value whatsoever. If somewhere within your heart there is a feeling that something is missing, that no matter how hard you've tried, that no matter how much effort you've put forth, no matter how diligent you've been, no matter how dedicated, no matter how sincere, you still haven't found something specific that you need, it is because you never will. Never will until you have transcended your own human self and been reborn. Nothing else can satisfy. And the reason nothing else can satisfy is because nothing else is the will of God. It is the Father's pleasure to give you the kingdom. And the only way you can receive the kingdom is to walk in it as the invisible Christ. When you were born physically into this world, That was the rib of Adam becoming Eve. All human birth is the rib of Adam becoming Eve. And all human birth goes to death. And that is why the progeny of Eve are cursed. The serpent is a technique used by the Greeks in ancient times, used by Shakespeare in his time, used by Eugene O'Neill as a dramatist. You know there was no snake there. Why did Moses put a serpent in there? To reveal to you and to me the nature of the human mind. As a good citizen of any country, you are actually trying to make this a better world. You join crusades, civic programs. You want to make it a better world for your children. You want to help people. And still, no matter what you do, one thing remains. Every human being dies anyway, in spite of all the things you may try to do for them. It is not the will of God that you make this a better world. It is not the will of God that you improve on God's work. It is the will of God that you see that this world is not the kingdom of God. We have substituted human ideas for the ideas of God. We have substituted what we think God ought to think. And so we continue like the moth. We do our very best. You may win a Nobel Prize in literature or science. You may have lived a full life and have contributed to society. You may have done many wonderful things and many philanthropies. But that's not enough. Nothing is enough until you have reconceived and followed the way of Mary instead of the way of Eve. Mary seeks God. Eve hides from God. Mary seeks within. Eve seeks without. The nature of the human mind is being shown to us as seeking without. We want to do good out there. We want to help out there. We want to succeed out there. That's Eve. Because Eve is deceived by the serpent, she becomes the moth trying to get through the window pane to the light, and when she gets to the light, there's no value in it. When she gets to her pleasures, there's no value in them. All she succeeds in doing is being trapped by the mind, the serpent. We automatically, in seeking to make a better human life for ourselves, are trapped by the serpent. That is not the way of Christ. Mary does none of these things. Mary multiplies the Lord within, and Eve diminishes the Lord without. But unless you know that Eve is you, your human mind, your human sense of life, you think you're reading a story going back 3,500 years. The human mind says, how could that be me? I'm a good person. I'm not a sinner. You think and ask yourself if there's any person on earth who is really any better than Eve was. What did she do? She's not there as a sinner. She's there to show us the nature of the automatic human mind. It goes outside. It never goes within. and it dies outside, and its children die. And then it shows us Mary who goes within, and her Christ child does not die. The birth of Christ in you is previewed by the birth of Christ Jesus in Mary. The death of you is previewed by the death of Cain, by the death of Abel through Cain, by the death of all of the children of Eve, who is called the mother of this world, the mother of all living. The meaning of that is that whoever is born of the flesh must suffer the curse of Eve. Whoever is born of the Spirit is blessed instead. In Mary, in her going within to her soul, you are taught that your blessing comes only when you, who have been born first of Eve, then reconceive within yourself as Mary did, and bring forth the Christ child. It would shock religion to discover that the Bible has been saying all these years that the God of religion does not exist. You see, the serpent presents to Mary no problem whatsoever because Mary sees no serpent. Mary looks within, there's no serpent there. But Eve looks without and sees a serpent, and the serpent presents to her a false god. The human mind presents a false god to the individual, so that this God says, "Do not eat of the tree of good and evil," and the serpent says in the same breath, "It's all right, you can." The God says, "Do not eat of it or you will die." And the serpent says, "If you eat of it, you will not surely die." The contradiction between the Lord God and the serpent is the duality of man, which comes forth as the sleep of Adam and finally the birth of Eve. And now you're looking at oneself, and spirit through Moses is showing you that your outer Eve self and your inner Adam self are divided right now. If you are still under the belief that you are a material being, you are reliving the Adam and Eve story in your consciousness. And not until Jesus on the cross is approached by the centurions who pick a spear up, and one hits him right where the rib of Adam was, and out spurts blood and water. This is a symbol that rebirth has taken place. The breach of the rib is being mended by the Spirit. And they cannot break his bones, the bones of his leg. You cannot break the bones of the leg because the divine image is not breakable. Now, way from the rib of Adam up to the spear of Longinus, which enters the rib cage of Jesus, we are being taught that we must do the same. That which first was the birth through water must become the birth through water and the blood. And whatever you do in your human way to improve your humanhood has nothing whatsoever to do with your primary purpose, and that is to prepare now, through the birth of Christ in you, for your next experience in life. Those of us who have caught the vision of preparation for our next experience can look at a different way of living, a different direction than the normal human being. The average person has come here to stuff as much as he can into a lifespan, figuring he's going to get old someday, it's going to end someday, and he wants to get it all as quickly and as well as he can, and he thinks he's protecting his children by building their security. But he's substituting his will for God's will. We are in the fourth world. If you remain stagnant, the rib of Adam is not healed. Eve lives your life, and Eve dies, because the first child of Eve must always slay the second. The first child is a symbol of the material self, the first birth, and it, in every human being you know, prevents the birth of the second child. It slays the second child. It slays the second birth. That was the symbol of Cain and Abel. And we, who want to move on in the will of the Father, know that our next experience is in the fifth world, not the fourth. The incarnating rib must be overcome. The outer material self must be seen to be a no thing. It is our function through Mary, the soul, to enter the fifth realm, the fifth day of Genesis, which opens us to the sixth, which is spirit, and to the seventh, which is pure consciousness or Christ. And you cannot do this if your life is devoted to building your humanhood, because the human mind does not know the way through to the fifth world. It is Eve. It is cursed. And so only through your capacity to open yourself to the birth of Christ can the Christ from the seventh heaven lift you into the world of soul, the fifth world, and finally up to the seventh world. And you can only do this inner journey, through the invisible Christ of your own being. In other words, if you do not live here now in the kingdom of God where Christ is, Christ in you is not realized, is not born into your consciousness, and there's no way for you to go beyond the fourth level. You are what is called a branch cut off, stagnant. Now, Nicodemus was in his 80s. There'd be no point telling him that he had to be reborn, except that it was a reminder to all of us that we have a job to do here which is quite different than we had suspected. If you were in high school right now and you wanted to be a lawyer, you wouldn't expect to graduate high school and go right into the bar. You'd know you have to go to college, and then you have to go beyond to law school. We can't step out of this incarnation into the kingdom of God without preparation. You can't just die here and walk into the kingdom of God. You can't step out of high school and become a lawyer. You've got to prepare. And this lifespan is a preparation for your next life experience. And the way you prepare for it is to live that life experience here, now. If you want to walk in the kingdom of God tomorrow, you've got to walk in it today. You've got to prepare for it. And the preparation that we have all been perfectly willing to ignore is that Christ in you is the only mind that knows the way. So I want you to practice daily finding that self of you which is alive, and then letting yourself live from that self. You'll find it's quite a shift in your consciousness. As you reject mortality, as you reject the serpent mind, which says it's all right, you can go ahead and eat evil, as you reject the concepts of that mind, as you accept that there is a living self where you are, and that you're going to inhabit it, that you're going to open out a corridor for that living self to express, as you refer your life back to that living self and let it express more and more, you will become aware of an entirely new self. It will think things that you have no way of thinking. It knows infinity. It knows eternality. It knows God aright. It doesn't let itself be deceived by the appearance of evil. It doesn't worship a God who permits evil. It doesn't worship a God who has no power over cyclones and disasters and blizzards. It doesn't worship a God who permits death. There is a totally different self, and it is yourself. And only when you are willing to dwell on that level frequently, frequently enough for it to burst into life within you, will you discover what Moses had in mind. He was teaching the world that without a second birth, a virgin birth within us, man lives in a world not created by God, in a world that he thinks is so real, but it is merely a dream of his imagination. He had no way of speaking those words to the Antichrist mind because it wouldn't listen. He had to use symbols of the outer man and the inner man, symbols of the world mind posing as a serpent, showing how the world mind automatically feeds false forbidden fruit to the mind of man, showing how man, in his innocence, eats this forbidden fruit, these false thoughts of mortality, of materiality, of human birth, of time, of atoms, of space, and lives a completely false lifespan, which to him is perfectly normal, even though he knows at the end of it he dies. And all the time, Scripture is saying to know God aright is life eternal. But you can't know God unless you live where God is, in the kingdom of God. Now, many people you know have no capacity to understand that Christ can be born in them. And others would think you are foolish if you told them that you have learned how to live in heaven. But God is in heaven, and if you are not in heaven, you are separated from God. Wherever God is, the Christ is. And therefore, the Christ is in heaven. And if you are not in heaven, you are separated from the Christ. Who is this self who is separated from the Christ? It's Eve. The outer self, the material self. So let's get the picture straight. Each of us has been born of woman. That's the first birth. Mary was not content to be born of woman. Mary now had to reconceive. Eve had a physical husband. Mary does not have a physical husband. And that is to show you that in your reconception, we're not talking now about a second birth through parents. We're talking about a second birth, which is an inner birth. First born of woman, and then reconceived within oneself without a physical husband. A virgin birth within you is what is being taught. That virgin birth within you is the way to live in the kingdom of heaven, and there is no other way. You cannot live in the kingdom of heaven with your mouth or your good intentions or even your sincerity or your desire to dedicate yourself to God. You can only live in the kingdom of heaven by reconceiving through virgin birth the inner Christ. And then you will find the divine image in which you were created, where the bones cannot be broken. Until you find the divine image of yourself in which the bones cannot be broken, you are Eve coming out of that rib of Adam. And that is a symbol of physical incarnation. There is no Holy Ghost in the world, only in the kingdom. There is no Comforter in the world, only in the kingdom. There are no fruits of the Spirit in the physical world, only in the kingdom of Spirit. There is no life eternal in the world, only in the kingdom of Spirit. And there is no God in the world, only in the kingdom of God, Spirit. There was one tree. Mary saw the one tree, the tree of life, and without a physical husband, she reconceived within. There was only one tree, but Eve in us sees the other tree. There is only one kingdom, but Eve in us sees the earth, where only the kingdom is. The earth is our concept of the kingdom through the Eve mind. The forbidden fruit is not sex. The forbidden fruit is not human desire. The forbidden fruit is this world. We are all eating forbidden fruit. Christ does not live in the world. Christ does not eat forbidden fruit. Eat of my flesh, says the Christ. And you'll find that the word eat and the word sleep and the word serpent are all key words. We who live as mortal beings are as asleep as Adam. We are in bodies that have been cursed, and the curse is that they must die. But just as sun shines through the water, we can reconceive to the body that does not die. This is the command of the Father to each of us that we have ignored. We cannot ignore it. It is the only activity in which we can engage, through which we can fulfill the command of God. Now, when you have made up your mind that you must find the living self of you that never dies and live out of it, you will find a new depth in your meditations. You won't be satisfied to meditate in order to find a parking place or to meditate in order to have something good happen in your life. That won't be your purpose. Your purpose will be to relinquish the mind of Eve, to relinquish the human lifespan, to relinquish the dream, and to trust that there is a kingdom of God within you which is called Christ. And to wait patiently until all of you that is human dissolves in your consciousness and only Christ stands there. Until I, Christ, in you establish that I am present, alive, real, that I am sent of the Father, that I am not tomorrow, I am today, that I am the now Christ of your being, that there's nothing for you to become, that you are. It is done. It is finished. It is now. This is yourself. When you reconceive and this self grows within you, you are on your way to the fifth world. They will never break your bones. It means that you will never have to reincarnate. It means that the curse of Eve is broken. You have transcended material birth. You have accepted and you have realized the need for a virgin birth within you. A second birth, a second self, which is really the self that you were before the world began. Jesus buried is Adam returning. Adam comes into time appearing as Eve. Jesus is buried, and this is his return through, out of time, returning to eternity. We are going through time, returning to eternity through the knowledge of Christ within. That is our function. And you may not win a Nobel Prize doing it. You may not make any great discoveries for the world. But you will be fulfilling the greatest command of the Father. Be reborn of my spirit. In the preparation for this work of these 2 or 3 days, I discovered that the spirit had already established itself as the identity of everyone who is here. There wasn't any question but that the spirit of you and you and you, the one spirit, had picked us all up from wherever we were, had put us on a ferry, put us on a plane, had sent us over the water, had pointed into a certain direction and said, there is where I want you at this particular time. because I want to tell you that I am in the midst of you. And I want to tell you that anything you do which is not in the awareness that I am in the midst of you is not an ordained act and is not protected by the spirit of your being. Whatever you do that is not independent of the spirit of your being, but is one with that which is in the midst of you, is an ordained act and is fully supported by the inner spirit. We are learning to put substance into the things that we do by letting them be ordained by the Spirit and performed and perfected by the Spirit. We are learning that it is not our function to initiate anything without spiritual ordainment first. And we are learning that in a way that puts substance into the things we do, so that our deeds bear testimony to the inner spirit of God. I would like you to know, not intellectually, but through the inner stillness, a phrase that you can prove out to yourself for the balance of this lifespan and in everything you do from this point on. And that phrase is this: God never makes mistakes. Eve didn't know that. She thought evil existed. She thought God comes and God goes. She thought there were times when God is absent. She thought there were two creators. But we know there is only one creator. And its work is finished. And it never makes mistakes.
If you know that God never makes mistakes and is the only creator, you will find that you can look at alleged mistakes, something, and you will say, who made this mistake? God is the only creator. Who is there who can create mistakes? What am I looking at? I am looking at not an external evil. And now this is the point. You are not looking at somebody else's disease or disaster. It isn't there. God never makes mistakes. God never creates evil. God never creates disease. God never creates disaster. God never creates a bad business. God never creates a pain in your back. God never creates death. What are you looking at? You see, as a human being, this is an automatic thing you see. But you're not looking at it. You are not looking at that. The serpent mind is looking at that. The serpent mind is looking at disaster. The serpent mind is looking at disease. You think you are looking at it, but you're not. That's the nature of the serpent mind. That's the nature of the mind revealed in the Adam and Eve story. What Eve saw wasn't there. The serpent wasn't there. The tree of good and evil wasn't there. She was looking through the serpent mind, the world mind, the mind that isn't. And every time you look at a disease or a disaster, you are not seeing it. The false self of you is seeing it. God didn't create it. God is the only creator. God does not make mistakes. Now, if you can catch the hypnotism of a mind that sees what God did not create, you will realize that Moses was teaching you that the human mind was not created by God. You've been depending on it. You've been looking out with it. You've been identifying the world with it. You've been making your dreams with it. And that mind is not the mind of Christ. It is the Antichrist mind, and is the mind of most of the people who walk this earth, even while they want to do good. They simply have no knowledge that the serpent in the Bible is the world mind in them, which makes them think there's a world of good and evil where only God's creation is. Makes them think that there's a tree of good and evil where only the tree of life is. Makes them think there is an earth where only the kingdom of God is. Now, if you can catch that tonight, that every evil you see is not only not external, not only in your mind, but it is in a mind that is the serpent in the Bible. And that mind is presenting an evil that does not exist and is confirming the presence of the evil that it itself has created within only itself. It is out of that mind that you must step. That is another reason for virgin birth and realizing the identity of Christ as yourself. In the mind that was in Christ Jesus, there is no serpent mind. There is no evil seen. Now, this is one of the finest hairline points there are. And I know from experience with myself that you fall right back into the serpent mind and identify evil, and never can Christ identify evil. Only the serpent mind, because it is the creator of the evil it identifies. It is the creator of the human form, which ultimately it kills. That is the curse of Eve. The form created by the human mind is killed by the human mind. I told you we would be walking on a difficult path tonight. And I'm asking you to look at your own mind and see that you have been entertaining the serpent unawares. Oh, there have been beautiful times when you lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, but not enough times. And you cannot do it as a human being. As long as you depend on the human mind, you're depending on the serpent. That is the greatest trick of all. It says, depend on me, I'll take you out of Egypt. But it has no intention of doing so. There is no cancer on this earth. It only appears to the serpent mind. There are no retarded children on this earth. They appear to the serpent mind. We think we're seeing them, but the serpent mind is seeing them. The mind that is not the Christ mind. That's the mind of the third dimension of consciousness. When you're lifted to the fourth dimension of consciousness, and you look not out of the serpent mind, you see the divine image and likeness of the Father, in which there is no retarded child, in which there is no cancer, in which there is no death. So we have come a long way. We know where to make the word flesh. We know that the divine image is divine flesh. We know that we were created in the divine image and likeness of the Father and are divine flesh, but we have a physical concept which we drag around from lifespan to lifespan. Only because we have not developed the discipline to live in, to talk to commune with that self of us which is undying, and to step out of that self of us which is dying. And if you can pinpoint this as a goal, to live in the undying self, to let everything that comes to your attention come into that side of you which is undying instead of that side of you which is dying, you'll find you can separate the chaff from the wheat much better. You'll find you're living from a higher altitude. And you'll find that you have no fear or doubt or concern about tomorrow. That these were part of the false self of the serpent mind.